So very quickly, we'll do the intro.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
We'll do the intro.
All right.
So this is where we tell people what we talked about.
Awesome.
This is very cool. We just go back in time, and I do a quick little boilerplate, letting people know what the show is. Hi, I'm Tom and Alan. Mm-hmm. This is Comedy World of the Pub, Cappy to you and me. We're in partnership with Byte TV and part of the Talkle Network of Podcasts. It's like radio, but awesome.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's all we're doing. And now I introduce you guys, Bob and Tobley.
All right.
Mick Smith.
Great.
How are you guys?
We are good.
Great to have you here.
Yeah, thank you for inviting
We've
us.
We've been talking for a bit.
I'm exhausted.
Crazy. Some people don't know, but you guys wrote a musical and have it playing in Toronto right now.
That's right. It's a musical based on Full House, the TV show. The 90s sitcom. Yep. Calm down.
Crazy.
Calm down.
When was I going to learn this?
You think you would have done your research.
No, I don't read a thing.
We're embarrassed for you.
By the way, that happens all the time, because I literally do zero research.
Nice.
You're lucky that I found out your name was Bob. So we talk about sort of the your previous work with Showgirls, a musical, mm-hmm. Bayside, this work as well, the what has brought you to this. What else we talk about?
We talked about Bob's perm.
Bob's perm.
We cried. We laughed.
We cried. We laughed.
We had like a 10-minute tickle fight.
Yeah. Right. Oh, we found out about what makes you blubber in musicals. That's fun.
I cry a lot.
Yeah.
He's a crier.
Yeah.
A crier.
Come, let me hold you.
Okay.
This is I love this discussion. I can't thank you guys enough for coming here and being a part of it.
Sure.
So here they are, Bob and Tobley and me, ladies and gentlemen. Let's go.
Enjoy. Try.
There you go. What, are you afraid of your own voice?
Yes.
I love the sound of mine. That's why I have a podcast.
That's also why you have echo on yours.
Oh. Yeah. Well, actually, no. That echo comes grace of the newly painted studio that used to have a mattress there that mm-hmm. absorbed the sound. Guess what's missing?
What?
That so we had no idea how much of that was going to be absorbing,
right?
You know, until you yank it out, and then suddenly, oh, great, we're recording inside the Red October.
Yeah.
This is perfect. Welcome to Canada, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Have you been here before? This isn't your first visit.
This is my first time.
This is your first time here. Mm-hmm. Okay.
My third time.
Your third time?
Yep.
Okay, so have you basically been acting as tour guide now?
No.
For your brother or
for my brother?
Yes.
I haven't seen like anything at this point.
Right.
I mean, it's just been like in between the theater and the hotel. We went to the X last night.
Right.
But like other than that, like just bars.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's the only thing I've had time to do.
Right. What are your favorites thus far?
I think we go to the Vic a lot because that's right next to the theater.
Right.
Okay.
We went to that speakeasy.
Oh, that was fun.
Cold tea.
Yeah.
Yes, cold tea.
Yeah.
Do you know the naming convention behind that?
No.
Okay. So that's in Chinatown.
Right.
That area. And there was a restaurant there that was famous for serving after hours. So you'd roll in there around 2:15, 2:30 and just ask for cold tea. And they would bring you beer inside a pot.
Nice.
And then that would be your beverage.
They should still do that.
Yeah.
They shouldn't have dropped that.
Right.
That's another thing I'm still getting used to, too, is like how early things close here.
Right.
The whole liquor store situation.
Mm-hmm.
Like in New York, you can go to a bodega at like 3 a.m. and get
right.
a beer.
Uh-huh. We don't have that.
No.
We describe our liquor laws as draconian.
I yeah. agree.
And they're all, it's the U.S. is all by state.
Yeah,
as different. Well, right? So it's the same thing up here. So you'll get like very lax standard in the way that you can purchase things. Like every province is really weird. Like in Saskatchewan, you can walk into a bar and buy beer from them and take it home. And you can't wow. do that here.
No.
Whereas in Quebec, they've got the concept of the bodega, yeah. the dépanneur. As they call them.
This sounds fancy.
And it's French for bodega.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they will do the same thing. So they'll allow you to buy beer
right.
a la bodega time and
right.
go. And there's talk. Every time this happens in Ontario, there's talk that we're able to, you know, open it up just a little bit and like we'll be able to buy beer at a grocery store. No. And then that concept blows the mind of the elderly and it eventually gets shut down. So
right. It's like a prohibition light here.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
With slight deposits that you can do across from the, you know, that you can grab yourself. It's like, it's parceled out like loaves of bread in pre-USSR Russia. You know, you go through the wall.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that is front of mind because I just saw a man from Uncle yesterday. So
that's it's supposed to be good.
It's not bad.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you guys like spy flicks and that sort of thing? Because that's...
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Let's say yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Love them.
Right?
Can't stop.
You can have an opinion on this thing. We don't, by all means, poo on things if you don't like them.
Canadians love to poo on things.
We do.
You really do.
It's true. Our mascot is, our national animal is a beaver, but what you don't see is what it's actually shitting on.
It's America.
If you take they typically just crop the beaver, mm-hmm. but then if you pan back on the original print, it's just a hole on the ground and then it's just pooping into things underneath and you can see it like when they cut through the Simpsons house like that. So
can you explain why that is a thing here?
Why we poop on? So give me a specific example. I don't want to speak out of school.
Generally, like,
okay.
Say you have a musical.
Okay. I'm very general. I'm really trying to get my head around this.
Yeah.
Hang on.
Yep.
I'm almost there.
I'm making this up as I go along. And okay. You know, it's funny. And
sure.
You bring it here and then every reviewer hates it.
And now every reviewer.
Not every reviewer.
Right.
No, but certain reviewers.
Toronto Sun, yeah. For sure, specifically.
Well, okay. So let's start there, and I'll start shitting on the Toronto Sun.
Perfect.
To their credit, them having a theater section that they review would basically be like Hooters providing cloth napkins.
Yeah.
Like, that's the difference. I mean, there are definitely some reviewers in this city that I wouldn't take a lot of stake in. But this is something that I think would actually probably help you, is like the non-traditional media would right. probably be sort of more the avenue of what you're experiencing, like where you would get your most traction because right. It's more... It's
Craigslist.
More people get it.
Sure. Like that.
Are they doing reviews now?
Yeah.
We've gotten some good reviews on Tinder.
Okay. Yeah,
that's
good. We're killing on Tinder.
Okay. That's good.
It's just interesting because
swipe right.
New York, I think they take a step back and realize what a musical is. Oh, it's a parody.
Right.
It's a lot of jokes. And they take it for what it's worth. They don't
right.
set a bar to comparing it to Kinky Boots or something
right.
like that.
Right.
You know, and we've just been surprised here.
Yeah. And mm-hmm. I mean, like, we don't write musicals typically for people who love musicals. We write musicals for, you know, 20-somethings, people who like to go out and have a good time.
Right.
People who want to see something different that's not, you know, your standard Broadway
thing.
Like, we've never liked, you know, heavy piano-driven musicals or
right.
like, something that's just a piano on the melody or things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, really, we grew up, like, just being these young punk performance artists who kind of found our way into musicals.
Right.
Right.
It's a musical written by people that don't like musicals.
Okay.
For people that don't like musicals.
So I'm on board already.
Yes.
Hands up, who fell asleep in Cats?
I never saw Cats.
Okay.
What's it about?
Okay, well, here's the thing. The title is misleading.
Okay. Oh.
It's about Cats. I remember seeing it on Broadway. Actually, we had won tickets to go see it, my girlfriend at the time and I. And so, like, it was a big thing. Like, she won this contest, and, like, we're getting a hotel and the airfare coming first time into... Well, it's not our first time in New York, like, about second or third, but, like, by that time, just loved the city. And this was definitely pre-9/11, so it was still kind of dodgy and dirty.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
It wasn't, like, Vegasified, you know,
right.
by this point. And she's all excited about seeing Cats, and I just couldn't think of one less thing I'd want to do, but... It's New York.
I'm glad you broke up with her.
Yeah. Yeah, that happened. I think that was the problem. We may have broken up in the theater.
Don't blame you.
Trust me, I'm old and I drink. So
red
that's,
flags yeah. everywhere.
Is there musical genre, like, is there, like, plays in the genre that you guys actually enjoy?
It's a couple.
That have come out?
Just like,
because to be fair, it's not, I will be the first to say that the musical genre is not my favorite.
Right.
Like, I would rather God's honest, I would rather go to opera than that. But the naps are way better.
Yeah, but
you don't have the magical Mr. Mistopheles waking you up every 5 minutes. I find there are some musicals that will captivate and will just hit you right in the numbers. So it's unfair to poo on an entire genre.
Sure.
Right?
I mean, you know, Book
as
of
Canadian
Mormon,
as that is.
Of course. Yes.
Love Book of Mormon, Avenue Q.
Right. I mean, Matt and Trey, is that their names?
Yeah, Trey Parker.
Yep.
They're our heroes. I mean, we kind of aspire to be smart and use dirty things in smart ways and topical and all that. So we definitely love them.
Mm-hmm. Right. And that's very much like, it's just our sense of humor. It's not like we're trying actively to shock people. It's just,
we're just
shocking.
Yeah. Right.
And that's all we try to do is just to make each other laugh. And yeah, because our senses of humor are so very different, kind of intertwined at the same time. So it's very much like Matt and Trey.
It's a real shame that their musical never took off, though.
Yeah, that's
such a bummer.
Right.
That just hit like white lightning, right? Like, it was the right thing, right time. Now, admittedly, I think what helped them is that they obviously have a love of that genre in some description.
Right.
But to have the guts to go, hey, you know what? We've done enough of these little spoofy things on our little cartoon show. Why don't we go all in and do a musical?
Right.
And
they had done a movie too. I think they just decide the format. And
they'd always done musicals, though. To be fair,
right
since the get go, like everything, even the South Park movie was like this little musical.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Right.
And
that's what Brian Boitano would do.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
That's for sure.
That one's so fun. That is such a good musical.
Right.
It's one of the few I really love.
Uh-huh. I that was one of those movies I remember walking out of just smiling.
Of South Park?
Like face hurting from smiling.
Right.
You know? But it was interesting, like as soon as they came out with Book of Mormon, knowing what that story was, you think back in their catalog, of course, they've been taking swings at Mormonism quite a lot.
Right.
Yeah. And they had within the boundaries of that episode where they were doing a lot of the heavy lifting for this.
Yeah.
It was a musical built in already. So,
yeah. You know,
just with the dum 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 dums and all that. Yes.
For sure.
So, where do you guys outside of that, where do you find your humor? Like, what is it that if you're sitting down and going, "Oh, I'm going to watch that."
Bob watches a lot more comedy than I do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What do you watch everything?
I don't watch as much TV as I used to.
Right.
But I tend to like watch a lot more cartoons or like South Park, Family Guy, Simpsons, things like that.
BoJack.
Mm-hmm. BoJack's the best.
Right. Right. Yeah. And that has just taken off.
Yeah.
You know, just out of nowhere and suddenly boom, there was just BoJack in. Fun to see, like I love seeing sort of like those types of cartoons and that sort of thing that really kind of break the boundary.
Yes,
you know, and just really break it. Let's make them horse. Okay, sure.
Depressed horse.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Depressed horse. They
you
all
can really
are
relate
though.
To. Yeah, there's not really happy horses.
Look at their eyes.
Yeah, they're dead inside.
Yes,
that's why I relate.
I also watch a lot of true crime documentaries too.
Mm-hmm.
We love serial killers.
Yeah,
nice.
We love serial killers and girls that kill their boyfriends or babies or husbands.
Yes.
JonBenet Ramsey. We did a musical about her.
Right.
We love that dark shit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Monster the Musical, is that coming out soon?
I think we want to do an overreaching serial killer musical.
Okay.
We'll see.
Dexter!
No, God.
No.
The end of that musical would just be awful.
Yeah. Bad.
You are speaking to a person who hasn't seen episode one of that.
Oh, okay.
And understand that many people tell me to put it on the list, and the same number of people tell me to take it right off. So it's obviously a very polarizing show.
Well, he finds Christ in the end.
Right. Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Oh.
So it's kind of sweet.
It's a very heartwarming.
Muhammad sitting over there, damn it, could have had another one.
Yeah, they were close.
Always losing to JC.
Yep.
Yeah.
He gets baptized in the very last one.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's nice. So you guys are from New York City, which we've established. I thought you guys were here for so long that you lived here. Welcome to our fair city.
Thank you.
Look at you, three-timer. Where'd you guys grow up? What were the beginnings that kind of brought you to this point?
Well, I grew up in Texas,
right,
in Austin, mm-hmm, which is a great town. And I moved up to New York after I graduated college. I went to, right, business school,
mm-hmm,
as you do when you want to be an aspiring comedian.
Right.
How
did it go?
It went good. I got 2 degrees. you know, you got to have something to fall back on.
Uh-huh.
Soft landing. And then I moved to New York and met Bob.
Mm-hmm.
And I grew up in Maine.
Right.
I went to New York for experimental theater.
Mm-hmm.
And
for 1 year.
2 years.
Okay,
right.
two years.
Of the-
we should explain. This is your brother, Bob.
Yes.
Is, yes.
Well, I'm his uncle.
No, you're my grandfather.
It just depends on the day.
Right.
Yeah. So, yep, we met in a back alley, and we slowly started doing comedy music and gross-out performance art.
Mm-hmm.
And we kind of got the idea on Mushrooms to do the Saved by the Bell musical.
Right.
This, yeah, was about 10 years ago. So
I remember seeing that.
That's, yeah, right. We were staring at a tree, and Tolly was like, why don't we do a Saved by the Bell musical?
And, mm, then we went home and ate a steak.
Right.
Like you do on Mushrooms.
Uh-huh.
And then we wrote, you know, and we...
I've only ever had mushrooms on steak. I've never had, oh, steak on mushrooms. Describe that experience.
Very, very different experience.
Mm-hmm.
George Foreman grill.
The best
eats
way.
Eats you alive. Yeah. So then we started doing the Saved by the Bell musicals. Mm-hmm. And they, each time we rewrote the script and went to a bigger place. And then we landed at Theater 80 and did it for 2 years.
Right.
And also, since we weren't busy enough, we threw in Showgirls the musical at the,
right,
same time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And JonBenet the musical.
Mm-hmm.
JonBenet Murder Mystery.
Yeah. Theater. Which, okay, we acted in.
Right.
It's the only time we'll act.
Okay, so, and these were all done in New York.
Yes.
Kind, right, of off-Broadway.
That's right.
At that point. So, sorry, what was the chronology of your shows?
It Bayside,
was, mm-hmm,
and then we took a break and did Showgirls for about half a year.
Right.
And then we went back and did Bayside in a bigger theater.
Mm-hmm.
We did that for 2 years.
Right.
Which was really great. And then we were writing the Full House one at the end of that, and now we're jumping into the Full House.
Right.
Right.
Okay. So with, so let's go through each one of those.
Okay.
Over the course. So I don't know why there is so much, like, I understand, you know, the show being what it is, like, up here, Degrassi Junior High is huge. That was sort of like the original series was like my generation, you know, mm-hmm, when it was black and white and they played a piano,
right,
over it because, right, no one was talking. That's right. Snake says this. And, so that was kind of like my Saved by the Bell, mm-hmm, at that point. My brother was definitely more into it. So in talking with him and sitting, hanging with him, I would see the odd episode once in a while.
Right.
But there is definitely a groundswell of that popularity. Like just.
Yeah.
And I guess that's, was this, did this come from a genuine love from that? Or you just go, oh, this is something we can tap into? Or how did it all come about?
I don't think anything we've done has come from something like, oh, this is popular. It's just something that we see that we grew up with.
Right.
And then it's just this thing like, we're like, oh, that was really fun when we were kids. Why don't we look at it again? And we're like, wow, this is really way worse than we ever imagined.
Right.
And at the time, around the mushroom time, we had these day jobs and we would smoke pot before, mm-hmm, every day before work. And
right. What were the day jobs?
Well, I still have mine. I work at HarperCollins. I do not smoke pot before work anymore. Just during.
Hello, his co-workers.
And I was doing customer service at Christie's Auction House.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the basement of Christie's. There's nothing, okay, fancy about that, no, job.
All right.
No. So we were smoking pot, watching Saved by the Bell, and I think that's where the idea was kind of lodged into our heads. But, mm-hmm, once you revisit these shows as an adult, you realize there's a lot of fucked up shit going on.
Yeah. Right.
And it felt like our responsibility, mm-hmm, to call that out in a humorous and dirty way.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, there's something about like those 90s shows that are so wholesome and clean. Like the real world just doesn't invade these things. Like,
right.
They don't deal with really big issues like teen pregnancy, mm-hmm, or drug abuse or...
And when they try to, they don't do it well.
Exactly.
Right.
And so we always like to shoehorn those real world elements into there and see how these like really wholesome characters would react to it.
Right.
And that's kind of where Full House is, because I don't know if you know, but Danny Tanner halfway, mm-hmm, through turns into Bob Saget and,
right,
becomes the guy who's he's been for years, and it really upsets the family.
Uh-huh.
You know, like they don't know how to deal with him.
Right. Suddenly their dad is saying fuck and shit.
Right. And
other things.
You know, rape things. A unicorn and
yes.
It's just the worst
shitting
things.
On grandma's mouth and
yeah.
Okay.
That's what's funny is we don't even use the dirtiest he is in our, right, musical, and people are like, this is too dirty.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen his stand up?
Yeah.
You're right. Right.
It's awful.
It is. It's so funny seeing, like, because so many people only know him from that. Mm-hmm. And I guess the same thing would have happened when, you know, you go and see Red Fox perform or Buddy Hackett perform, like way back in the day. Excuse these geriatric references, but but like both of those guys worked wicked blue, mm-hmm. and also worked in children's movies,
right?
And then suddenly came like, oh, we should go see this Mr. Buddy Hackett. He was great in the app in the Herbie movies. Let's go see that. And then, you know, all you see is just shocked parents taking their children out as he's talking about his ass clenching an enema tube. Right.
No. And what is the need for these guys, especially Bob Saget, to do that? Like, right. That's what we're exploring, too. Like, why, you know, you don't want to get pigeonholed into an American dad kind of character, but also, right. Jesus Christ.
Right. Like, yeah.
And his stand-up is good. Like, in like the basic nature of it, the jokes are really well-structured. It's
right.
just... He throws in so many fucks, like it throws off all of the comic timing of it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah, so we've been having a lot of fun with that.
Right.
Trying to figure out what the motive is there.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
You know.
And now, have you ever been able to talk to Saget? Did you get like any sort of
pre-thing? Just through our Ouija board.
Right.
Perez,
is he dead now? Are we breaking that news?
Yeah. Perez kind of has tweeted at him, and he's kind of, they've tweeted together, but we have not spoken to Bob or anyone from the cast yet.
Right.
Yet.
With our Saved by the Bell one, we were running about a year, and then we finally got like a Mr. Belding in and mm-hmm. Dustin Diamond and all them. So
right.
We like to get on its feet and then bring them in.
What was that experience like?
Great.
He knows already half expecting what the answer will be.
Dustin was a pleasure to work with.
Right.
Couldn't have been more sober.
More.
Yeah.
So genuine.
Mm-hmm.
He was game to do whatever we asked of him.
He was, to be fair.
Right.
And he did. He loved our show. And, you know, it just it got a little chaotic at the end there.
Mm-hmm.
As things do.
Yeah. I think that's very diplomatic of you.
Oh, you're welcome, Dustin Diamond.
Have fun in jail.
How happy he should be. I don't know if you want to take a look at that. Like, I always find it interesting when you see sort of child actors thrown into something, and then you watch them. Certainly in a large cast like that, where it's kind of ensembled, and so it's like, okay, here's a pack of them. Let's see what's going to happen to them in years to come.
Yeah.
Just like, you know, save them as a favorite page on IMDb and just start checking off the things that happen.
Right.
The show you did not want to be on was Different Strokes, apparently.
Yeah.
Yeah, they really went.
Did not end well.
No.
Not for anyone in the
show. No, not even Mr. Drummond. Or the maid. What was her name again?
Didn't she do... She did a...
She did okay. No, she did Facts of Life. Yeah. But what was the character's name?
Mrs. Garrett.
That's right. Who's played by
someone.
Charlotte something. I'm sure. She looked like a Charlotte, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. So you put together the Go Bayside, you've got some buy-in. So how was that initially received when you first threw it up there?
You know, I think that people got what we were doing, and the comedy and the actors were so great, and they worked so hard. I mean, to have a 2-year show in New York is almost impossible.
Right.
And we pulled it off, and it was so much work on everybody's side, but it was kind of like this, we were this kind of rebel musical theater group. Mm-hmm. They were kind of not doing stuff by the rules.
Right.
And it was working. You know, bringing Dustin on was a tough learning process.
Mm-hmm.
But we got through it, and it was a lot of fun. I think everyone walked away from it. Most of our actors were in it the whole 2 years.
Yeah. Right.
Which is amazing for them to give that much of their life up for the show. But it was amazing. We played music during every show of it, too.
Yeah, we never missed one.
We're not doing it with Full House. We're kind of stepping away so we can work on other stuff. But we were there. It was a family.
Mm-hmm. Now, which of you two is the composer?
We both are.
Okay.
Yeah, we write books and lyrics. We sit in my... living room, and just Bob has a guitar, and we just do it.
Yeah, and we just sit and go back and forth until something makes us laugh. And
okay.
Or cry.
Yeah.
Right. And then you run out.
Or like we fight. Right. Or argue.
Because I've seen in other sort of interviews that you guys have done and other articles have been written on you, they very much pigeonhole one of you into one of those roles or the other, whereas this seems a little more organic, like a Coen Brothers type. Type ensemble.
Yeah,
if you will.
And like when we're writing, like we don't remember who wrote what joke too. Like we'll go through the script.
It's probably wise.
Yeah.
So we can't be like, oh, that joke failed. Yeah. Fuck you, Tom.
Yeah. Or like the, you know, reading a review, I wrote that one. Yeah. That's mine. Yeah. You know, and then you get the scoreboard on the wall and then that just infects every aspect of your life.
Yeah, we definitely don't do that.
Right.
Yeah.
Is there any sort of sense of like competition in all of this, or does it become collaborative?
No, when we're writing, it's very even. I'm sort of an A-type when it comes to the whole managing of everything.
Right.
So I take kind of the boss place, and I also did the funding for Bayside to get off its feet. So right. I was the producer. And then, thank God, Bob's kind of a B-type that will sit back and not try to, because that would be a mess.
Right, mm-hmm. Right. I mean, you do definitely, you do way more work than me on all this stuff.
Like, what is your sign?
Aries.
Yeah, he's such an Aries. I'm such a Leo.
You are. Oh my God, such a Leo.
And you're talking to a Libra. I can't believe that we're now talking astrology.
Yes.
Oh, this is soon. Well, I think the cat is Cancer. Whoa. So, well, to a lot of dog lovers, he is. But no, I don't know. Do you guys follow astrology? Is that a big thing? Okay. No.
I know I'm a Leo.
You seem to rattle this off pretty quickly.
It helps to pick up girls. That's where it works.
Are you trolling in the 1970s? Are you?
I'm trying.
Do you have a time machine? Well, that's the next one. Back to the Future.
Back to the
musical.
No, you know, when it comes to stuff that people love, you want to stay away from it. Because we talked about doing Friends the musical, but can you imagine?
Oh, I can't imagine anything worse trying to create.
Yeah.
Or anything worse.
Yeah.
I think it would just, like, it's one of those things, like, I think you're right. Like, people have, I think you want to strike the things that people have a fondness and affinity for,
right.
But not devout. Oh my God. Like Breaking Bad, the musical.
Oh yeah. If you were parodying.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
How could you do that? Like, again, like things like that, that are actually good are impossible to,
mm-hmm.
right.
to make fun of. Whereas you take Showgirls and it is beloved in a certain community.
Sure.
But they also realize this is one of the worst things that it's was campy. Ever made.
The it's... men who like boobs.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So you have to be careful, but I think you also have to, it's a loving harpoon of it too.
Right.
You know, we don't go in that hard on this because that would, I think, turn people off too.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you couldn't do Friends. We looked at 90210, but then we said no.
We didn't right. watch 90210.
Oh my God.
More like 9021, no.
No, yeah.
But I guess, I think you're right. I mean, like if you put it through the prism of a parody,
yeah.
then you're kind of going, we're not trying to duplicate it.
Right.
You can see our tongue is firmly placed inside the cheek, and then it would go, because otherwise, I don't know, U2's thing seemed to work out well with the Spider-Man nonsense.
Yeah, that went well, didn't right? it?
Yeah, only like 6 people died.
Uh-huh.
And 6 people came to the show.
Right. That's 100% death record.
Yeah.
The show is killing.
It's killing, you literally.
You will not make it out alive.
Yeah.
But then, like, there are other things, like one of the musicals that I love, and again, it's kind of... It is kind of like that twist that I think you guys would appreciate, but I haven't lived in the city enough to hate it, obviously, is Avenue Q. When that came up here, I missed it. It wasn't until we were down in New York sometime afterwards, and it was off Broadway in review.
Yeah.
And that's when I first saw it. Yeah. I went, I can totally see why this blew up all over the place.
Oh, yeah.
It's a magical
It's got so much heart.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bob cries. You can just start talking to him about the last song.
Oh, God, don't start.
For now.
Is it touching?
That song just makes me bawl. There's just one line in it, and I just can't not cry every time I hear it.
What's the line?
I'm not going to say it.
Come on. Tobley.
For now. Just for today.
That's a rent.
Oh. 1,095 seasons.
That's a lot.
Oh, okay.
That's a lot.
But it's funny when you find things like that.
Yeah.
That just kind of hit you out of right. nowhere.
Especially in like a musical like that, that is so
over
so
the top,
big,
not
so
that.
Funny. And then like all of a sudden, oh my God, like you're just crying. And we went for that with Full House too.
Mm-hmm.
We really wanted to make grown men weep.
Right.
I don't know if we're doing it.
No. I think we might have missed that.
But I think we wrote more love songs. Like, we're getting a little softer. You can see it through our musical progression. Like, there's some good love songs here. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, they're just painful to write. Because you just want to go to the funny jokes. Right. But, you know, if you write a good love song, which I think we did for John Stamos' character, it works.
Yeah.
Right.
And you can have those honest moments. Like, there's some very sweet moments in the songs between the sisters and the family where you start to relate to these characters a little more.
Right.
The sister song, they practice kissing. I don't know how sweet that is.
That one's adorable.
The first question that I heard, because whenever I said, oh, yeah, I'm going to be talking to the guys doing the Full House musical when they come here.
Right.
The first question I always got asked were, are the Olsen twins coming?
Yeah, right.
And I said, yeah, they're in it.
Sure.
Yeah. Sure. They're totally in it.
They're so
they're
in it.
They're totally going to come see the show, too. They're
right.
Love it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, again, let's go into the chronology again. So, what prompted Showgirls as a musical outside of the... As soon as you hear Showgirls the musical, I'm instantly thinking there can't be anything more campy a take than what is going to be delivered.
That's true.
Yeah,
like it is not going to be delivered with the same thrust and awe of Miss Saigon.
There is a hell of a lot.
Though it would have been great to see what gold statue got wheeled out.
Yeah.
The helicopter was the biggest part of the
movie. That's right.
So expensive.
Get me out of the strip club.
Yeah. We actually, we had an actress named April Kidwell who was in our Bayside as Jesse Spano, and she was amazing, and we kind of wrote it for her, because we knew she could drive that vehicle, we just had to make a good enough vehicle, and she killed it, it was amazing.
Right.
We'd never do that show without her, it's her show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and like, we knew she wouldn't be afraid of nudity either.
Right.
Which, when we came up with the idea too, we were like, we want something with more tits than hair.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we wanted to have the most...
How was that not the movie?
More tits than hair.
We just wanted to do a musical that was like nonstop tits from beginning to end.
Okay.
And we got it.
Yeah.
Yep.
And the casting process was amazing.
Sure.
The rehearsals were amazing.
Yeah. You didn't get it. Sorry, you didn't get it.
You didn't get
it. Yeah, that's okay. Take 18.
Jump up and down.
Take 19.
Just keep trying.
I remember hearing someone talk about the Coen brothers when they had... God, why am I blanking on his name? The guy that Sam Elliott. Mm-hmm. Sam Elliott, when he was in the role of the dude, or the guy, the narrator in that was always talking about the dude.
Right.
They had him do one scene over and over and over and over again, and he's like, cut, okay, do it again, Sam, and okay, cut, do it again, and after about the 40th take, he stopped them and said, what the fuck's going on? Am I like doing something wrong or like what's up? He goes, no, we had it by take 8. We just love watching you work.
Oh, Jesus.
With that in mind, I can only imagine the rehearsal process for Showgirls was pretty wicked awesome.
Yeah, it was fun, and it was a really fun show for sure.
So tell me about, when this new show came about, so you got Full House, and you got Perez Hilton, first of all, reviewing it and going crazy stupid over it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then suddenly gets cast in it. I don't know how that works.
Right, yeah.
Oh.
It's weird.
I really liked it. Really, come this way.
Hey, come over here. We have to talk to you.
By the way, I think it's really great, too, and I haven't even seen it.
Yeah.
Can I?
Yeah.
Okay. So what was that? What was that process like? Like coming together and creating the show that we've got now here in Toronto. Like, what's?
Well, Perez. So you know, he did see Showgirls. He saw Bayside twice, and he's friends with our choreographer on the social medias. And the choreographer posted our first announcement, and he wrote in his like secret account. He was like, "I want to be in it."
Right.
And the choreographer was texting me like,
"Wait, he has a secret account?
He has one that isn't like Perez Hilton."
Oh, okay.
It's like his smaller account.
It's Paris Hilton.
And then so I started commenting like, all right, come be in it. He wanted to be the Olsen twins, but we talked him out of it.
Okay.
He didn't have the tits.
No.
And we sat with him and said, you know, we don't have a big budget.
Right.
And he, you know, he didn't care about that. And he just wanted to be in it. He went to school for acting. So he was excited to get back in that. And it just kind of worked out. And when stuff like that falls in your, when a Perez Hilton falls in your lap,
Right.
You just let him sit there.
Sure. As per his wish.
And he's been wonderful. He's been wonderful to work with. And he has such a genuine sense of comic timing on stage, too.
Right.
It's really fun to watch.
Right. And a few followers on his Facebook.
Just a couple.
Media,
just a couple.
Just a couple of followers.
What's he up to now?
What's a couple his million.
Yeah, right?
Yep. But he's, I think he's surprised us with how good he is and how motivated and driven. Like, mm-hmm. he was calling for more rehearsals. He's done extra stuff on the side. Like,
right.
we've had a few people we've worked with in the past, Dustin Diamond, that,
he is going to stab you in the arm, baby.
I deserve it. that were tough to work with. And
right.
to have this is like a dream. He's mm-hmm. so open to it. You know, he had to move his whole family up to Toronto for the 3 weeks we were here.
Right.
So his two kids are here, his mom. Mm-hmm. Nanny, like
wow,
but it's so cool. It's so cool
he can afford it.
Yeah, no,
you know, you ask a few questions at a couple of pageants, that pays for a hotel.
That's true,
right?
Yep.
So what is? I think one of the things that, like, as you're describing it, it doesn't surprise me that he would want to put in that amount of work because, you know, he obviously has this presence. And if he sort of had that in his background, and this is definitely a project that he wants to do,
right.
as from his, you know, dark internet Twitter handle, the fact that he wants to make this thing work and right. wants to bring to it sort of the genuine thing, so people go, oh, he does have the acting chops,
yeah,
you know, First of all, if you had asked me, I would be pooing senseless because I'm like, oh, great, theater and I sing. These are so many things that, you know.
And dance.
And dance?
Yeah. Oh, I'm a triple threat in all of those. If you think Canadians metaphorically shit on things.
Right.
Get them up for the stage guy.
Nice.
Yeah. Todd Van Allen's in town and he's pooing up a storm.
Yes. Get the mops.
Get out.
Yeah, you know, Perez, his ass is on the line just like ours with this.
Sure.
And it's a new musical, which is kind of crazy. A lot of people will do Hair or musicals that have worked. But mm-hmm. to do a new one and to throw it up and to do previews here, like, I took a lot of balls.
Right, of course.
From us and from all the cast to believe in it so much. And so it's a little rough when we get some bad reviews, mm-hmm. but we know it's a good show.
We love this show.
And the audience is there with us. And if you understand what it is and what you're getting, you're not going to walk away disappointed.
No,
right.
No, and we've heard people walking out, like, thanking us, saying they've never laughed that hard.
Right.
And then you read the review, and it's like, it's not funny. And it's like, well, fuck you. Like, right. you're right. wrong. You are
right.
clearly wrong.
So this strikes me
as... And we're putting Dustin Diamond on you.
He's like Jet Li in Unleashed. You just, like, take him off and go... Just point at the reviewer.
He pulls out a switchblade.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and then you know he's running like Wolverine through the crowd. That was a good Christmas for him, right? Just a side note.
Oh yeah,
good.
He had a great Christmas this year.
Yeah. Merry Christmas, Dustin.
He had left our show about a month before that.
Yeah.
Oh Jesus.
So it was very soon. It was
right.
very.
That's like when you hear I'm blanking on his name. Tony Soprano. Mm-hmm. Help me out, guys. Why am I blanking on him?
You can just...
Tony Soprano.
Anthony...
Corvixio.
No, Jesus.
Not even close.
This is unbelievable.
James Gandolfini.
I was going to say...
I was so close.
Right,
so
James Gandolfini.
With Anthony Calabresi.
I was going to say Anthony Garcia.
Yeah.
Because that's obviously it. Yes, James Gandolfini, like, you know, he had adopted... I'm not saying this is the case with Dustin, but you see a gentleman so... There's sort of two ways that your character can spin if you are associated very strongly with a character. You can either be crippled from the weight of people just recognizing you as that character,
right.
or you can have that coupled with the adoption of that character's characteristics. And I think that was the case with James Gandolfini.
Right.
And it just strikes me that, you know, Dustin Diamond would never, ever not be called Screech.
No.
He can't. He's not going to outrun that.
No.
That was always a big issue for him, too.
How hard would that be? And when I look back, how hard was it to come to our musical at a 200-seat place and relive that every night? I mean, it must have been kind of tough. Right.
And, you know, we don't fault him at all. We understand, like, you know, growing up in that shadow, like, you don't come out of it necessarily... In the best place.
Nope. Right.
It's impossible.
It's so... what I always find weird is just how you can have like a cast of characters. Like, let's take Breaking Bad, for example, mm-hmm. right? There is no way that, like, you know, the character of Walter White, when you take a look at the other work that he has performed, I think Bryan Cranston has been able to shake sort of like that. Yes, people recognize him as Walter White, but he's not going to be just Walter White. Like, he is able to. Whereas I don't think Aaron Paul will ever not be Jesse Pinkman.
It'll be tough for him.
Yeah. Right? He's doing well on BoJack.
Yeah. But he's a cartoon.
Yeah.
Right.
I think that then that's when we go back to Bob Saget, and that's what he thinks he has to go extremely dark to break out of that.
Right.
And does he, though? You know, does that even do it? Or sure. Do people still see Danny Tanner?
Right. Now, it's not now like, oh, Danny Tanner saying fuck. Danny Tanner's like making coke jokes and shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Now he's making hooker jokes. Now he's making pooing on... Oh, no. Yeah. Oh, these sound like they're really honest. This isn't a spoof at all. Uh-uh. Oh, God.
Yeah.
I do hope he comes to see the show, though.
Cover the ears. Get them out of the theater.
Right. Quickly.
Right. But I think I would not take the reviews to heart in that... you're dealing with subject matter and you're dealing with a very specific show that people are either going to be, they're going to be polarized on. They either loved the show or they hated the show.
Right.
And you're going to be getting all the people who love that show.
Right.
That are going to be coming out and mm-hmm. just, you know, enjoying it and seeing it for what it is.
Right.
Right.
And I think that's what happened with Bayside too, is like, we just tapped into this audience. Right. And the people who are in the balcony are loving the show.
Sure.
And they're the 20-somethings. They're the people.
The homeless people.
The homeless. Mm-hmm. The dangerous loners.
The blind.
The deaf, which is weird for a musical.
They really love
it. They love it.
So many explosions.
They clap really loud.
Yeah.
That's the best part.
We should get a sign language interpreter. That'd be hilarious.
I want to know what cum dumpster looks like in sign language.
I'll show you. I'll show you later.
So have you, when did you guys land in Toronto?
August
to start
10th.
This?
August 10th. About a month ago.
Okay.
Almost a month.
And so it's been nothing but straight rehearsals and...
Yep. Tech week, getting the sets ready. The actors came in. We got the show up and running. And now we have one more week.
Right.
Last week.
All right.
And then we move it straight back to New York and we get back the 7th and we're up on the 10th.
It's holy cow. Show. That's a quick transition.
Yeah. We love challenges. That's what we love.
I don't know why we keep doing this to ourselves.
Yeah.
Right.
We're going to die soon.
Yeah. Hopefully.
I think as well, when you look at Toronto, I think what you're also dealing with is, I don't want to say it's an immature theater scene because they've had a lot of theater over the course.
Yeah.
But I think what has happened is that they have become very selective in the theater that is actually mounted as well as attended. Like it's very, like you're seeing a lot of theater companies like Canadian Stage, where I worked years ago. Soul Pepper, the works at the Factory Theater and that sort of thing. You see a lot of very kind of serious, you'll see some comedies, but they're typically serious. The Mervishes, they will mount large scale productions that have come in from the UK or Broadway or that, you know, LA or whatever. And they do those. So you've got sort of like those two middle grounds. And there really isn't sort of like that. There's that off Broadway experience, but the off Broadway is typically more serious.
Right.
So when something comes in that's a little campier,
edgy,
and campy and edgy for lack of a better word, like it's really going to have to find that polarized niche. That's going to bring in people. And it does not surprise me that the Toronto Sun didn't get it. Not in a million years.
Yeah. And that's what I've heard. Yeah. It's a mature audience in New York, there's tons of off Broadway.
Right.
And so people are used to it. They know what they're getting. And but you know what? People are really liking it. And that's the
important thing is like the audiences are happy.
And speaking of Mervish, Bob over here got this permit on his desk.
I did.
No. Are you serious?
I got it for opening night. I was like, what is the fanciest thing I can do? And it was get a perm at Honest Ed's.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
That was four toonies well spent.
It was $40.
What?
It was more than 40, but it was 40 for the perm.
I paid for it.
Nice.
Yeah. I called and booked the appointment.
You called and booked the appointment.
You couldn't even find the number, though.
I had to find a picture on, like, Shutterfly that someone took of it. Yeah. I told them it was for my son, and they're like, oh, how old is your son? I said 21. I didn't want to come off too old.
The other thing, too, like, she asked no questions during the entire process. She
right.
was not like, why are you getting a perm, gentleman? Right. Like, mm-hmm. it was just like, all right, like, just doing a perm.
And why is your father paying for this?
And where is
and
he?
And also, you are clearly not 21.
Right. You're much younger. You're much younger. As people will see from the artwork that we take for this episode.
Perfect.
There is no question I'm the oldest man in this room. Just so we're clear.
No way.
Oh, yes. Oh, I take it to you, sir.
We're pretty old.
We're getting up there.
How old are you guys, if you don't mind me asking?
35.
Okay. Could you do it not in unison, please?
35.
Oh, Jesus Christ. I am literally, I'm the oldest person here, and I don't know how to speak in use. And this is how I love how long you two have spent together.
A long time.
Yes.
Too long.
Too long.
That was almost synchronized as well. Too fucking long.
Too long.
So, as well, I'm going to guess, because I've noticed when a lot of shows kind of come out that have ties to the LGBT community, certainly, like, you know, a lot of my gay friends have gone out to Kinky Boots, mm-hmm. If for no other reason, A, they love musicals, and B, you know, it's written by Cyndi Lauper, who is an icon in that right. community. Are you guys seeing that groundswell as well?
No.
Okay. Next question.
No, you know what our audience is, which is amazing for us, is women that are from about 20 to 40. Sure. There are some gay men, sure.
Yeah, right.
And they really do appreciate what we do because they kind of get the humor.
We right. got, the gay men came to Showgirls. Absolutely. That's how we sure. kind of earned that cred. And in our Save by the Bell one, Slater's very gay in it. Mm-hmm. So we got a thing.
And definitely too. Perez is bringing more of that community into this too, and right. I think they will really enjoy it because it is campy, it's over the top, it's filthy.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, as when you were working and collaborating on these works before, what was the chronology of your transition when you were coming in as trans?
Well. It's pretty, I mean, it's always been there. And, you know, Bob is my best friend, so he's known about it for years. It took me a while to come to terms with it a lot because I have a day job in an office.
Right.
And, you know, in an artistic community and in theater world, like, they could give a shit.
Right.
Like, it's not a big deal. But,
sure.
you know, at my work, I had to, like, come out, the HR had to send a huge email, like, there was some sensitivity around it. They had to tell the CEO and confidence and all this. So right. there was a lot of steps that I had to be ready before they had took them. Cause that right. was a very hard thing to do.
Now, were you pre-transition at that point?
I had started okay. and it got to a point where I had to, cause my voice and everything was kind of sure. changing. So that was about a year ago at this time.
She's had a cold for a long time. We're getting concerned.
Yeah.
Right. So this was all happening. Were you working on musicals at that time as well?
Oh yeah, I mean okay. we were.
Bayside was up and running.
Bayside okay. was. I remember when I set the cast down and told them, and they were totally cool. It takes people a minute, and it's kind of right. funny because this was just a year ago, but so much has happened in a year.
Right.
Caitlin was heard about me, I guess, and decided to do it too.
Nice. I would love to be like in that, like in the cast, and just see like one person storm out, like yeah. see a homophobe.
Right.
I was hoping for that, just someone yeah. like breaking.
Well, I never.
This is disgusting.
So obviously with a day job, there's a transition, but I find, and maybe it's just living in Toronto as well, like even outside of that community, I find people are becoming way more accepting of it.
Yeah.
And like, we're talking with a friend of mine this past weekend, his son is quite short compared to all of his friends. Like my niece and nephew have my brother's genes. He's 6'5" and has the metabolism of a bag of hummingbirds.
Right.
So you look at all their class photos, it's like kid, regular kid, spike, regular kid. And my buddy's kid is exactly the opposite. It's just like a dip in all the photos. And he's like, I'm really worried that, you know, his son is going to get made fun of. And I was just like, I think the sea change that we're seeing, which is a lot of people calling out, not a lot of people with microphones, but like calling out racism the way that people are. The fact that you're seeing a lot more education around the LGBT community. You're seeing curriculums change to help foster that processing.
Right.
At an early age, I think they see more things as different is okay.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, it takes a while. Now we were at the thin end of the wedge, I would say 10 years ago, 20 years ago, in terms of embracing that community. And now I think things are... Oh, they're steering up. I mean, they're by all means not perfect.
No, I mean, kids are getting bullied and suicide rates are very high still. But yes, it's amazing. I mean, when I was 10, transgender wasn't even a word in Texas that anyone would say.
Right.
I had nothing to understand what I was.
Right.
And really, till I got to New York, I didn't know a trans person until I moved to New York. I went through college in Lubbock, Texas. Like, it was weird enough to be gay there. I can't imagine.
Right.
But, you know, when it comes to writing, and we had this, like, talk back the other night, and somebody asked, like, are you going to add a woman writer? Mm-hmm. Which was a ridiculous question, because the script's done, but, done-ish. But what's great about it is that there's two sides of me, you know, and then I've done both, and so we are two guy writers, but there's an angle, and Bob is just as much a woman as I was. Absolutely. But yeah,
I'm more of a woman than you ever were.
Yep, that's right. The times are changing, and it's amazing. Right. And there's more books. There's great books coming out. We're in a time when the come out period has kind of passed. Like Ellen's big like I'm gay moment happened with Caitlin, right? And now we're just going to see a lot of trans people in different medias just existing.
Right, 'cause
we're interesting people.
Mm-hmm. Really, huh? Okay. But it's true. I think everyone's got that journey. The one thing that I think frustrates me is, like, I completely understand, like, you know, when you said, like, you had to come out to your work and let them know what was happening. It saddens me that that has to be an event. Like, where it's just like a sit down and, oh boy, here comes.
Yeah, I had to buy HR a book on how to do it because they had no idea. They said, why don't you take everyone out for coffee and tell them?
Right. So we'll fill a Starbucks.
Yeah, I work with like hundreds of people. I was like,
Get them all croissants.
But yeah, but now protocol is in place for HarperCollins, which is great because
That's fantastic.
Be the first, but I won't be the last.
You know? That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
So how has that journey been, and have you found that sort of helped to influence any of your writing that you're doing, how does it impact your creativity?
Well, I make more money at work now.
Sure. You got that extra 27% coming your way
there
now.
There you go. You know, I don't know. And I feel like maybe it's been a year and a half. I feel like I'm still in the thick of it. I don't know if Bob can speak. I feel like it's the same shit. I'm the same person. I just,
I don't feel like it's changed our writing at all.
Right.
And it by any means. I mean, I feel like we're both more mature, but I think that has to do with age. Like, I think our writing's matured. I think our comedy is... unless you ask the sun, more sophisticated.
Right.
And I think, like, you know, Tavoli's the same person he's always been.
Right.
It hasn't changed him. I mean, it has, but, like, you know, inside, you've always been the same.
Right.
Right.
I think I'm stronger now. I mean, never just as easy as it goes and as out there as it is, people still say the stupidest shit I've ever heard in my life. Never heard anything stupider sometimes out of people's mouth. But that's just a part of it, and I'm happy to answer them and help educate them.
Right.
Whatever makes this easier for everybody else, you know.
As a middle-aged white man, allow me to tell you everything you need to know about your community.
Okay, please.
Right.
That's why I came here.
Yeah, exactly. Where can I find a guy who probably doesn't know anything?
Yeah. He maybe read a BuzzFeed article.
I sure did. The 48 trans people you won't believe used to be the other sex. Okay. I clicked on that, and my computer is wicked slow now.
Yeah. And clip art on what their genitals must look like.
Yes. So obviously, Bob, you knew you two were collaborating, you know, before the transform.
Yeah.
So for you, it's so awesome that you've created this support net for him. So nothing is, you know, untoward or anything like that. But I'm guessing, like, you would have known anyway. I mean, like, you know, on the basis of your relationship now, right?
That he would have been fine with it?
Yes.
I don't think he had a choice.
Yeah. No, that's totally true.
Not really. And, like, Tobley supports me, too. And, like, we're just there for each other. Like, we have this long connection and we're brothers and we know mm-hmm. like no matter what we say or what we do, we'll always be there for each other.
Right.
And it's this thing where we can get into like a huge fight in the middle of the writing and Tali will know, oh, I'm going to storm out. You know, I'll walk around the block and be back and be like, I'm sorry again.
Right.
It's just this thing. Like you fight and you're just there for each other.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We're soul brothers, to steal the Bob Saget, Joey Glass. But yeah, there's nothing we wouldn't do for each other. And, right. you know, that helps with the creative partner.
For mm-hmm. sure.
Well, with the musicals, you could be Funk Soul Brothers.
Ooh.
Funk Soul.
Right about now.
Nah.
Funk. It's obligatory that I throw in a Fatboy Slim
right?
song at some point. I have to.
You should have warned us first.
By law.
Why didn't you tell our publicist?
It's a Canadian thing.
Oh, is it?
Funk Soul Brothers. It's a, yeah, actually, if you look at the Canadian crest,
yeah.
That Latin at the bottom translates to halfway between the gutter and the stars. So.
Jesus Christ.
Who knew?
Yes.
I've learned about the beaver, about uh-huh. the crest.
Yes.
Education.
Mm-hmm. So I have to ask about your t-shirt as well, mm-hmm. Jesse and the Rippers. Take us through this.
Jesse and the Rippers was John Stamos's band mm-hmm. in Full House. And
right.
so this is
one and of this, them. And this is them touring.
This is our merch that we sell. And
and Bob wears is 100% of his wardrobe, too. Yeah,
it's the only shirt I wear now.
That is awesome. So I guess that raises another question. How on board were the original production company of Full House with you guys taking this on?
Could you not tell them that we're doing this?
Absolutely. You know what? Your secret is safe with me. I will put asterisks over the name of the title of the show.
Just beeps everything.
You're right.
Just completely bleep out the name of our show.
Yeah.
Entirely.
So don't forget, Toronto. Make sure you go to Boob. And it's a limited run of Boob. And you'll see Boob. And also Pep Boob. And,
perfect. Yeah. Yep.
Luckily, we fall under parody.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, I grew up obsessed with Weird Al.
Sure.
And so I know a lot about parody law, and we've done a lot of research.
Hence the perm.
Yes, right. Exactly. Mm-hmm.
We did some research on Wikipedia. We looked up what parody meant.
Right. What'd you come up with?
And nothing. We edited it.
Right.
So, like, made our own rules.
Yeah.
If you want to write musicals based on TV. Well, actually, John Stamos owns the rights to Full House.
Okay.
We found this out because Perez and him are friends, and Perez reached out to say, hey, this is about to be announced. He went on Howard Stern
right.
to announce it, and he wanted to give him a heads up, and Stamos said it was hilarious, and we have not received a cease and desist, but
sure.
if we do, you know, we'll fight it, because yeah. you should be able to make fun of things.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and it's a free speech issue, and that's what right. basically what it boils down to.
Right.
You know, Two Live Crew fought the fight in the mm-hmm. 90s. 3C just went through the whole legal battle in New York, the Three's Company parody.
And right. won.
And won.
So, and mm-hmm. they did most of the work for us.
I just love that, you know, your production team is now being compared to Two Live Crew. Because they're so similar.
We are. We
actually,
are
we are. Yeah.
yeah.
All right, everyone, Cop Killer from the top.
It's a slow ballad. It's a love song.
Yeah. Well, that's Pop That Pussy.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's our love song.
So so describe the experience to the people who are not going to just by default go to this because it is about Full House. What is the experience that people are going to have when they come to the show?
The experience, I think, you know, everyone kind of knows Full House, even if they just know it's the show that the Olsen twins are on.
Yeah.
And I think you're going to get that. You're going to get, like, we make fun of kind of how sitcoms are set up, the problems that arise during them, especially 90s sitcoms. You get a lot of references to what the actors did later in life, such as Danny Tanner and Bob Saget, the Olsen twins.
Right.
You're going to get some kind of funny, gross kind of jokes.
Mm-hmm.
There are puppets in,
right.
in, you know, as Avenue Q.
I'm sold already.
And, you know, we wanted to make fun of Avenue Q and the show Hand of God that's in New York right now. And there's mm-hmm. a lot of puppet sex going on. So we said, how right. far can we take puppet sex?
Right.
And I do
right.
believe we took it to the farthest you could take it.
I think we
it.
Took it to the absolute limit. The original idea was to have the puppets shoot semen onto the front row.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we ended up cutting that.
We just didn't have enough semen.
We just didn't want to clean it.
Just filling that up every night is tiring.
Yeah, exhausting.
And it would have been our job to mop up the jizz.
Yeah.
yeah.
We didn't want that to be a
But
thing.
Then you could have, you know, you could have already created sort of like that anticipation of like when people went and saw Gallagher.
Oh, yeah. We could have sold trash bags. Like,
yeah.
Trash bags.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, exactly. So you get that. It's a fun time kind of poking fun at your childhood and mm-hmm. lots of references of the childhood and kind of looking at it through an adult lens and saying, oh, that's kind of fucked up.
Right.
Yeah. But it's also very nostalgic. It's very, like everything we do, it's a love letter to our childhood and to the 90s, which
that's
is
awesome.
The era that we grew up in. And it's something we feel very, very strongly and very passionate about. And, you know, there's something really wonderful and very awkward from your teenage years that it's fun to relive as an adult.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And we were awkward kids.
Yeah.
Look at us.
Very awkward adults and very awkward kids.
Yeah. Perfect writers. Yeah. Uh-huh.
That is all you need to be a successful writer is a lot of torture and a pen.
Yeah. Yes.
And off you go. And it sounds like you guys have put it together great.
Well, thank you.
It sounds like, I love seeing sort of the arc of your work and just seeing sort of that it's brought you to this. And I just love the seriousness that you take to the project, but not taking yourself serious within it. And I think that has to be the key to your success in all these things.
That's fair.
Right?
Sure.
That's a Canadian term. That's fair.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Please tell me there are other places other than this country that you've heard that phrase.
No, not
really.
Not so much, which I think is interesting. Like, y'all are fair people.
Mm-hmm.
They will be very nice to your face and then go right. on Toronto Sun and write the shit out of you.
Right. Now, to be fair,
yep.
Again, don't, you can throw Toronto Sun under the bus. Toronto Sun makes the New York Post look like the New York Times.
Which is
okay?
insane.
You're
yeah.
right.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't know how it's possible,
right.
but it is.
Right.
My favorite thing, I'm assuming that you read your review in it, obviously.
Yeah.
Go back and reread it and play the game that I do, which is find the grammar and spelling mistakes. If you find more than five, you win a cookie.
Nice. Well, we heard the writer also has a part-time job at Starbucks, so she's
yeah, exactly,
up and
right?
Up. Yeah,
very professional writer.
But again, to kind of close off the review loop, because if I bring up the Toronto Sun one more time, my head's going to explode. I think yours is the type of show that's going to go by word of mouth mm-hmm. and by sort of creating the community around the show as right. opposed to having to rely on mainstream media right. and press.
That's yeah. right.
And
we've always been very lucky with that too. With Bayside,
for sure.
We didn't do any advertising at all. It was all Twitter. It was all friends telling their friends, you have to go see the show. So they'd come back 5, 10, 100 times. We had one girl who came back 100 times.
Literally 100 right. times. It's just, it's interesting because we've been kind of lucky with reviews and this is the first time we've been hit with some bad ones. So as writers, like,
By the way, I'm so glad that Toronto could have provided that to you.
It's something to explore within yourself, like right. to get fucking panned mm-hmm. a couple times and look at like, is this what I should be doing with my life?
Great town. Glad to be part of the really deconstruction of your dreams.
Yeah. Thank you for ruining it for everyone.
Yeah.
Toronto.
I hope you're happy, listener. Every one of my non-Toronto listeners is now going, I knew it.
I knew it.
Those jacktards.
Yeah.
What's the next project? Alf, can I guess? Would that be the next
Alf
one?
Alf would be amazing.
Alf would be, I don't want to make another puppet ever.
Why? What happened with the puppets?
Just burned down.
What's wrong with the puppets?
He makes the puppets from scratch.
Oh, yeah. That's what's wrong with the puppets.
There are three puppets in the show.
It's too many.
Just picture like a well-holed picture of Jim Henson and Frank Oz on your dartboard.
Yeah.
Why did you get me into this?
What were we talking about?
Schindler's List on Ice.
Oh, that's good.
Philadelphia on Ice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We want to do something on ice, but with no ice.
With no ice.
Right.
Because our budget really doesn't allow for ice.
Sure. You could paint the floor like ice. It's very
right.
simple. Right.
Yeah.
Have them come out in roller skates a la Starlight Express.
Just no, we're still going to put them on ice skates
okay.
on a wooden floor.
Oh, that's uh-huh. okay.
Yeah. And we'll make them have kick battles.
Right.
As it happens in Philadelphia.
Right.
Like, so, oh, another kick battle with Tom Hanks.
Three died in Can-Can line. By the way, I love that I struggled to find James Gandolfini's name, but Starlight Express came out of
right
the holster.
There.
That was nice. Guys, I don't want to take any more of your time.
We're not busy.
Okay.
We're going to stay here all night.
Let's hang out. We'll just
party.
They kind of told us we get to live here now. Is that not right?
I have to call your publicist. Now, what is the web presence for your show and yourselves?
Fullhousethemusical.com.
Okay.
Twitter is Full Housical, and we are on Facebook under Full House News.
And Bob's on Tinder.
Bob's on Tinder. You two can be left swiped by one of the top writer director combos
with a perm.
With a perm here in Toronto. And Tobley, do you have a web presence as well?
You can just find us there.
Okay.
Or Facebook or wherever.
Do you guys ever do your own like personal Twitter and Facebook accounts? No?
We have like personal Facebooks, but like we don't really.
We just haven't had time.
Okay.
We don't care ourselves.
Right.
Yeah, we're not very good at that. We stay behind the veil.
Right. I, by the way, trust me, equally horrible at publicity and self-promotion all.
Yeah, that was like, painful.
Yeah, I just like, I had like two shows this week in a comedy bar and I was like, people will find out. You know, I'm sure they'll ask someone.
Yeah.
What are you doing? You know, I'll just like. Okay, so best of luck with the musical. It runs until when?
Till Sunday here. What is that? September 5th.
September
6th.
6th. 6th. 6th.
And then starts up in New York on September 10th. We'll be running open-ended there.
Okay. Make sure that you go, New York listeners, you go and check out the musical.
Fullhousethemusical.com.
Tinder.
Make sure you check out Bob on Tinder. I don't even have a Tinder account, and I'm going to go.
There you go.
That's just my. First of all, that will confuse my wife.
Confused.
First of all, why are you on Tinder? And secondly, why are you swiping him like you're on Grindr? Guys, thank you so much
thank you so much for coming,
and best of luck with the show. Sorry, the reviewers took a run at you here, but New York, as we have discussed,
right,
we'll probably get it. Yeah, I'm looking right at you, Toronto Sun. You're dumb.
Fuck the Toronto Sun.
Thank you. That's why he's a writer, right there. Ladies and gentlemen, you can follow this very podcast on Twitter at CATP Podcast. That's right, folks. Cat P. You can follow me on Twitter at HeyStVA. You can go to the webpage. You can see what these fellas, you can see the t-shirt. Jesse and the Rippers, which, can you buy that off of the website?
No.
You have to go to the show.
You have to go to the show. So you're going to see, if you haven't been to the show, you're going to see what you're missing. This will hopefully be out in time to get people in for the final few days.
Great. Cool.
So it should be up this week, so Great. Don't worry about that. And you can go to the show notes and you can click on the links and you'll get through all of the details there. And go to the website. You can donate to us. You can give us a 5-star rating on iTunes. Tell people all about it. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Bob Tobley, the erstwhile IRC, and myself, when you're listening to Cat P, you're in for a good time. Why did I go Russian? Don't know.
Lately, I find I rush.